Burroughs versus Dagon.
May it please the court, my name is Erin Sperger, and I represent the appellant Alicia Dagon in this matter. I'd like to speak for 7 minutes and save three for rebuttal, please. Thank you. Your Honors, my client is here today because she was wrongfully excluded from equally participating in child-rearing decisions of raising her children. The trial court disregarded two experts' testimony because it was influenced by the father's unsubstantiated allegation of rape. The trial court then tried to fix its mistake by amending the findings on reconsideration to exclude the words rape and false imprisonment, but that was not enough to undo the prejudice that the mother suffered. That allegation changed the outcome of the case. If the mother did not rape him, then it calls into question everything he testified to and every conclusion that the court drew based on that testimony. And the court should have reevaluated the parenting plan in light of its discovery that the father was not raped. The trial court abused its discretion in three main ways. One, the trial court abused its discretion when it failed to follow the recommendation of the guardian ad litem, who had firsthand information. Two, the trial court abused its discretion in excluding the mother from making major decisions about the children's lives. And three, the trial court abused its discretion in not reopening and reevaluating the parenting plan in light of the discovery that the rape allegation was completely false. This court can look at the evidence presented on reconsideration as sort of an extension to the trial, because the trial court did consider that evidence, and it amended its findings. Therefore, it kind of opened up the trial. This is not just a pure question of whether the mother's evidence should have been considered. It was considered. And the trial court can also grant a new trial when substantial justice was not done. And in this case, the evidence submitted on reconsideration was compelling. Substantial justice was not done. The mother did not neglect the children, and the record does not contain enough evidence to persuade a rational, fair-minded person that she did. When we look at what was presented at trial, the incidents were nothing more than children being children. You know, one of the sons jumped off a ladder in the backyard. One of the sons was stung by bees. The older son was roughhousing with the younger children. And this was not enough to persuade the guardian ad litem, who had firsthand knowledge of the incidents, to recommend any limitations on the mother's residential time. And leaving the children in the care of their father with the help of a nanny is not neglect, especially when the trial court made him the primary parent. This simply just does not add up to neglect. And the trial court has prevented the mother from exercising her right to provide crucial input into the well-being of her children based on its erroneous finding that she abused the father. Joint decision-making should have been revisited when the evidence on reconsideration showed that the allegations of rape were completely false and the allegations of abuse were false. The mother did not abuse the father by sending lengthy and frequent emails. As the trial court phrased it, endlessly engaging him about the breakup of their relationship. It appears that the court misunderstood the CR 35 examiner, Dr. Mayoro's report, and it misunderstood the father's mental health issues as the doctor presented them. The father's diagnosis erodes his ability to deal with life stressors. This family was in a crisis. They had to make two life-altering decisions. One was whether their marriage was salvageable, and two was how the family was going to produce income. It was not abuse for the mother to engage the father in a discussion about this. And more importantly, the trial court has allowed the children's major life decisions to be made by a person who is unstable. He alleged a conspiracy to the FBI, which included he named his own attorney, the mother, the guardian ad litem, and all of the court commissioners of Snohomish County Court that were in a conspiracy to keep his children from him, and he asked that they be detained and that his children be placed in protective custody. Also, Dr. Mayoro found that the father often has paranoid thoughts about how people are out to get him, and he, Dr. Mayoro characterized that as attributing malevolent motives to others. Now, if the father is the primary parent of the children and he attributes those kind of motives to his children become his enemy in his mind. Also, when asked how the father was going to produce income, the father broke down and committed himself to a mental health hospital. The father made an inflammatory allegation that he was anally raped, tied up, and left in a cupboard for hours. But the evidence on reconsideration shows that this was completely false. Not only was he a willing participant in bondage, dominance and submission, and sadomasochism, but he was the driver of these sexual experiences. And despite all of this, shockingly, the trial court found that the father has remarkable insight into his mental health and can manage it well. Yet the father testified that he fell into multiple depressions throughout the separation and he had stopped taking his medication. Dr. Mayoro diagnosed the father as bipolar 2, yet the father denied that he has this disorder and did not disclose to Dr. Mayoro that he had previously been diagnosed with it. These are not the actions of someone who has a remarkable insight into their mental health and wellness. The record is clear that the mother did not abuse the father. She did not neglect the children. And her parental rights were wrongly limited. Therefore, the mother would ask the court that it would reinstate the original parenting plan and remand for trial. Thank you.
Good morning. Catherine Smith representing the respondent, Christopher Burrows. You've had three alleged abuses of discretion identified here today. The first is the failure to follow the recommendation of the guardian ad litem. Of course, the trial court has the obligation to make a determination of the appropriate parenting plan. And the fact that the guardian ad litem's recommendations were not followed exactly is not a grounds for reversal. The second argument being made is that there was an abuse of discretion in excluding the mother from joint decision-making. Of course, there's no right to joint decision-making. If there's one thing I think we can all agree on is these parties weren't very good for one another, and there probably was not a reason that they should not be making joint decision-making, and the trial court made a decision based on the statutory factors that joint decision-making was not in the best interest of the children. The third argument that's made is that there was an abuse of discretion in not reopening in light of the falsity of the allegations that are being repeated here today. That's a factual determination. The trial court made a determination concerning the nature of these parties' relationship. It doesn't matter if you call it rape or abuse or what you call it. The court made that determination as a matter of fact. The facts supported the decision that was made. And the court made a determination of what would be in these children's best interests, and that was that they be in their father's primary care. I won't go through the findings in great detail, but I do want to point out one, because I think it's been reflected here in this argument again today, and that is the basis for the 191.3 determination is finding effect 2.19K, that the mother minimized the children's issues, and I think you saw that again in the argument today, that these were just children playing when these children who have, in some instances, expressed suicidal ideation, the minimization of the children's issues has continued through this appeal. Unless the court has any questions, I want to end with our request for attorney's fees. This appeal is meritless, and Mr. Burroughs needs his fees paid.
There seems to be an argument that's being made that the court did not correctly understand the extent of Dr. Burroughs' conspiracy thoughts and has filed something and obviously is acting on paranoid notions, or that there was no recognition or understanding about the significance of his bipolar disorder. And I guess the implication is that he is not, the court abuses discretion because he is not in a position to take care of his children. I know the court made that decision, but we have argument today related to paranoia and mental illness. Was that before the court? Was that in the reconsideration? To what extent did the reconsideration affect the court's determination related to false allegations? Because I do know that the court did enter very extensive findings and did amend those findings, again, extensive.
It was before the court. The allegations that were made, which Mr. Burroughs testified to, were at a time when Ms. DeGon had custody of the children. She commenced, this action was commenced after, as part of a trial separation, he went back to his natal home in
right.
England. And she immediately brought a DVPO request
right.
that was found incredible, cut off his medical his ability to get medical, including his ability to get the drugs that he needed to maintain his mental condition. And so the court was aware of that, and it made findings that at the time of trial, which was almost was 2 years later,
mm-hmm.
that in fact he was medicated. He was engaged in medication. He was voluntarily engaged in treatment. He had good insight, and he was clearly capable of parenting at the time of the trial. So the statements that you made are correct, but they should have been in the past tense because the court was aware of that and made these factual determinations that, I mean, neither of these parents, I think we can say, are perhaps ideal parents, and the court had to choose between them and made a determination based on extensive testimony regarding Mr. Burroughs and Ms. DeGon's mental conditions, who was in the best situation to provide primary care for these children.
Well, one of the findings the court made was that Ms. DeGon had taken advantage of the vulnerabilities that she recognized with Dr. Burroughs.
Yes.
So to what extent, then, did the motion for reconsideration that apparently showed that there was no basis for the very inflammatory allegation that had been made, to what extent did that then affect the court's determination? Did it undermine it?
Well, I think that remained disputed. That's Ms. DeGon's position, but that remained disputed. And regardless of the voluntary or involuntary nature of the parties' sexual habits while they were sexually active with one another, that was not dispositive of the parenting decision that was made and should not have been, and that Ms. DeGon persists in saying this was the thing that changed the trial court's mind. There's simply no basis for that given the evidence that was before the court and the other findings that were made in this case.
So you wanted to address the request for attorney's fees.
We've provided a financial affidavit. We've provided an answer to the financial affidavit that was provided by Ms. DeGon that suggests that since August, her expenses supposedly have significantly increased, and we think there's some significant question regarding her actual income at this point in time. And this appeal is a persistence of a dynamic between these parties that was clearly reflected at trial, that clearly has affected Mr. Burroughs and the children in a negative manner, and that fees should be awarded not only under 140, but because this appeal is essentially a factual appeal and meritless. Unless the court has any further questions. Thank you.
Your Honors, there's just a few brief points I would like to address on rebuttal. One is that this is not a factual appeal. The issue, as you pointed out, Judge Schindler, is that on reconsideration, the issue is not, we're not asking this court to reweigh the evidence that was presented on reconsideration or to make a credibility determination. But it is clear, if you read the original findings versus the amended findings, that the trial court made a credibility determination, and it determined that Dr. Burrows was not credible and that his allegations were false. And so it was the abuse of discretion comes in when facing that reality, she did not reopen the case to take additional evidence to find out more about that. Instead, she just removed the words rape and false imprisonment. And it's also, I'd like to point out that initially the trial court characterized the mother's behavior towards the father as domestic violence, and then she amended that on reconsideration to simply say abuse. These are just semantics. Changing the words does not undo the prejudice that the mother suffered because of these false allegations. And the respondent would like to say that the trial court didn't, you know, it has nothing to do with the trial court's decision, but that's not true, because if you look at the reasons for the adverse conduct that the court cited, they cited abuse of conflict by both parties, denying access by the mother, acts constituting domestic violence by the mother, and abuse of the father. So this was like one quarter or one third of the trial court's decision on why to limit this parent's parental time. Also, I'd like to briefly address just the GAL. It is true that the trial court can disregard a guardian ad litem's recommendations if it's not supported by the facts. However, here, the trial court did not give an adequate reason for deviating, and this case is highly disputed. It was disputed from the beginning, and it includes two very complicated issues that our society is largely uncomfortable with. It's sex and mental illness. And the guardian ad litem was in the best position of gathering the firsthand knowledge of what was in the best interest of the children and the family as a whole. And Dr. Burrows is not entitled to fees on this appeal. This is not a frivolous appeal, especially in light of Judge Schindler's questions. And so we would ask that the court would award fees to the mother and reverse for trial and reinstate the original parenting plan pending trial. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, counsel. The final case on this morning for